You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Also on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Drop us a text or a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, that's 331-979-1369.
Hey, man, this is Corey Bashville from Peoria, Illinois, and I'm just calling in to say, you don't know how happy I am. Like, in this terrible season of everything going wrong, you don't know how happy I am to read about Jabari Parker minutes being cut. Because this man is boo-boo on the court. Like, off the court, I have no problem with him. He seems to be a great guy. But on the court, this man is hot garbage, bro. Like, and the reason why he sucks so bad is because he's a ball-dominant player, but his handle is weak. And that's, like, one of my biggest issues with Jabari. He wants to do all this ISO one-on-one drive to the hole, but you have no athleticism, and your handle is weak. Like, go watch the games and look at his handle. It's high as hell. He really doesn't have any really good crossover move at all. And he's tapped out, man. I keep seeing these articles talking about who should trade for Jabari Parker. And I'm, like, laughing my ass off. I'm like, who wasted time writing this article? No one is going to trade for Jabari Parker. Not the Atlanta Hawks, not the Suns, nobody. Nobody wants Jabari Parker, man. We're just going to have to eat this season. Hopefully he can add to some tank wins if he gets on the court at all anymore. I want to see Chandler Hutchinson. So that's just my thoughts on the thing. Go Bulls.
All right. Thanks for checking in, Corey from Peoria. Jordan, this is one of my favorite voicemails that we've ever gotten. And not to be too much of a Jabari hater, but you know how I have felt about him since the get-go. And a lot of my negative feelings towards Jabari are actually more directed at the guys who brought him here unwisely. But I love that Corey is pointing out that it's not so much just about, you know, Jabari not being a fit, but the guy being a ball-dominant player whose handle is awful. I feel like people don't talk about that, and I'm so glad Corey brings it up. Every time I watch Jabari, before he got benched, handling the ball, it's like the only thing I think of is that early Office episode where they play a game of pickup, like during their lunch break, and Michael is trying to like talk shit about the guys playing against the guys from the warehouse. And Michael's like, oh, here comes our secret weapon, and it's Stanley. And Michael's just assuming that Stanley's going to be good because he's a black guy. And Stanley is seen dribbling the basketball like a 5-year-old child on a recess, you know, court where, you know, the handle is not pretty and high and all of these awful things. And he's just like slapping it. He's slapping the ball. And every time I see Jabari Parker dribbling around a court, I think of Stanley from The Office in that basketball episode. I really do. Because the guy is so erratic and out of control when he's dribbling the ball. And to me, it's one of the biggest reasons I see Jabari as a guy who doesn't fit within an offensive system. Because every time Jabari starts dribbling that ball like a maniac on the offensive end, I'm like, oh God, well, I don't know what's going to happen here. He might get a bucket going ISO in his crazy out of control style, but I don't like the fact that he is playing this one-on-one crazy out of control style because he doesn't have a good handle for a player at the NBA level. So bless your heart, Corey. Thank you for leaving this voicemail. I agree with you 110%.
The strange thing is it's like he's trying to play the way he did at Duke, and he could do that at Duke because he had size on most guys. Right, he was more skilled than a lot of guys in college basketball, so he could get away with some of those things, and the turnovers wouldn't happen because guys weren't as skilled on the defensive end, and he could bully and body guys, and he also had the jumper to go with it. But he hasn't changed anything since he came to the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like his game hasn't transformed at all, and I know he tried to do that with the 3-point shot, and it's kind of worked, but kind of not. I agree 100%. It's not even more so about Jabari not being in the best conditioning in the world. It's about the style that he's playing and the one that he's willing to accept with this team. And it certainly has turned into basically you've been put at the end of the bench because he doesn't want to play that way. You know, he doesn't want to play team ball. He just wants to go out there and shoot it himself. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And especially when you're not knocking down your shots. So I do agree. And I want to say this too. Because I feel like a lot of Bulls fans feel the same way. And I think I could speak to almost 100% of the fan base say, I have no problem with Jabari Parker off the floor. He's done phenomenal things for this city. Phenomenal. He continues to do it with no press, no coverage, none. He's a great guy off the floor. He's just not a good fit as a basketball player with the Chicago Bulls team. And that's why I think he's been getting a lot of digs here in Chicago. And it's because of the performance on the floor and has absolutely nothing to do with Jabari as the person. So that is also a good point by this caller.
The Bulls are on coach number 2 this season, and both of those coaches decided that Jabari couldn't play where the Bulls wanted him to play.
So. Jim Boylan at least gave it a shot. He gave it a shot playing him at the 3. Oh, man.
Yeah, for like a couple rotations in one game, and then was like, nope. Nope, not gonna do it.
Oh, it was in the game. It was in the last game that he wasn't even supposed to play in. That was when the report came out against the Magic, and he got a little bit. I think he got like 6 minutes a run, and he was playing most of the time at the 3. Oh man, yeah, this hasn't been great for Jabari, but you know, that's my anger is focused exactly where yours is, Matt, is the front office who signed him in the first place. Like really. You thought this was going to work, and it didn't, and that's where we're at now. So where do we go from here, Matt, to follow up on this call? I know we said buyout, but, I mean, there's no teams in this league that want Jabari that are going to give up any assets. So a buyout is possible, and with Jim Boylan's comments still, like, saying, like, Jabari's got to be more focused, and he's got to give his energy and effort and practice, like, that doesn't help his trade value, does it? Because to me, that speaks as like Jabari just is kind of out on everything and just like whatever. Like if I'm not even going to get playing time on the floor, like what's the point of all of this? So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with him. If he's just going to ride the bench for the rest of the year, or if they're going to try to find a buyout, but they need to do something.
The question is like, does Jabari's trade value go up or down by not playing? By not playing and not playing based on Jim Boylan's explanations for not playing, does it go down? And maybe does it go down as much as it would go down by just seeing Jabari playing inefficiently on the court? For as much as people want to say, oh, come on, man, he was like averaging 20-8, you know, over a stretch of games. Still not a very efficient player in the NBA. And look, to your point, I hope that Jabari gets something figured out, and I hope the Bulls get something figured out and find a way to have him move on and because he seems like a pretty good guy, by all accounts, off the court. I hope that his NBA career isn't over and that he finds, you know, not a second life, but a third life somewhere. For his sake, because I don't hate the guy. But as far as his trade value, dude, it's Christmas. I don't want to talk about Jabari Parker's trade value. Come on.
I mean, there'll be somebody out there that wants him. Like, he'll get a couple more opportunities. Anthony Bennett's still getting opportunities and taking one overall by the Cavaliers. And by the way, he's dominating in the G League, which is another story for another time. But yeah, go check out Anthony Bennett's highlights in the G League if you're bored, because they're ridiculous. All right, let's get on to our next caller. This one comes from the 661 from another Corey. Corey out in L.A.
Hey, guys, this is Corey Solomon from the L.A. area. Much need a long-time Chicago Bulls fan from the L.A. area. Just calling back again. I don't want to get into all what's done happened with the Chicago Bulls, because there's been a lot going on. I know you guys know. There's been a lot going on. We ain't going to get into all what done happened. But what I like to do, I like to ask a question for both of y'all. I like both of your answer. And that is, bearing that what all of them went on in these past couple of weeks with the Bulls and what's going on right now with Jabari Parker and all that situation, if you guys, starting one by one, if you had a chance to sit down and talk with Jerry Reinsdorf yourself personally in an interview, what are some of the questions that you would ask him about this team and this team going forward in the future? I like your take on that. Can Matt and Jordan, can you both elaborate on that by answering that question? If you was able to sit down right now with Jerry Reinsdorf, what would be some of the questions that you would ask him about this team? Thank you, guys, and I look forward to hearing your comments about that question. Thank you, and have a good one.
All right, Corey, thanks for checking in. Always appreciate when you give us a call. And another great question. So, Matt, you had a one-on-one interview. If we got to sit down and talk with Jerry Reinsdorf, let's just say for an hour, and got to talk about everything and wanted to air out any questions we had about this and get down to the truth and talk with Jerry Reinsdorf, what would be some of the things that you would ask him about this Chicago Bulls team, where it's going, where it has been, and where he sees it going?
Well, I mean, not to double down on Office references, because I was just talking about the Stanley Hudson Jabari Parker dribbling comparison. But when I heard Corey ask this, I immediately thought of Michael's exit interview with Toby, where instead of going by the book, he just asked him, "Who do you think you are?" And Toby's just like, "I'm Toby." And Michael's like, "Yep, that's right. All right. What gives you the right?" It's just like that. Those are the two questions that I would ask Jerry Reinsdorf. Who do you think you are, and what gives you the right? Also, maybe like, can I feed you some red meat and a heavy alcoholic beverage? And if I could sit down in an interview with Jerry and encourage him to either A, go to greener pastures and just say, "Hey, I've had a good life," and like convince him to go on a bender that caused him to no longer be here, or perhaps less morbidly, just convince him to sell the team, which I know he wouldn't do. But that would be my question A, B, C, and D. Are you going to sell the team? Can I get you to sell the team? How can I get you to sell this team? Also, go fuck yourself.
Oh, man. I would probably sit there for a few minutes and let him see the confusion and frustration on my face. But I think the first thing I would do is take our voicemail line, sit it down, collect the best 10 voicemails we've had, and really illustrate the frustration to Jerry Reinsdorf about this team. Because when you live that high, when you're an owner, when you're somebody who's not around the team every day, and look, Jerry Reinsdorf hears about the Bulls. I guarantee it. But does he care that much? Probably not. Probably not. But if you could get him in a room and listen to how frustrated Bulls fans are and get him to realize, and maybe he will, maybe he wouldn't, just get him to realize, like, this fan base is so passionate about this team. And at the same time, it's been 20 years since this team has been back to the finals. And this team, people want to root for this team so badly. And yet, over the course of the last 15, 20 years, you've given them every reason not to. So I would ask, if you're going to try to sell a Bulls fan right now, and somebody's sitting here, I'm at the point where basically I'm no longer going to be a fan. I'm nowhere going to come in and spend money on this team. I'm nowhere going to pay attention. Like a lot of the callers over the last few weeks have given us. What would you do to convince all of those other all those Bulls fans to stay? What is the one reason the Bulls fans should stay and should be fans of this team? And I would hope that it would be a realistic answer, a real sit down about where this team is at and grief, frustrations, not the BS, the beat around the bush type of answers that you would normally get. I would ask him that. I would say, here, look at all the fans that want to be a part of this fan base, but you've given them every reason to not. So why should Bulls fans stay and why should Bulls fans spend their hard-earned money on a team and a product that hasn't frankly been any good? That would be my main question. And there would be hundreds more that I would have for him, but that would be the starting point, is why should I spend my hard-earned money and everybody else out there who has 9-to-5 jobs, why should they spend their hard-earned money and time to come to see a product that frankly hasn't been up to the standard of the Chicago Bulls? That would be my biggest question for Jerry. And outside of that, and see the way he responds to that would tell me a lot.
That's a really good question. Much more serious than mine.
like we can sit there with Jerry and we can rip him and do all of that thing. But seriously though, like looking at him straight in the eyes and saying like, man, we've been sitting here listening to all the people that spend all of their money to watch and consume your product. And when it hasn't been the return that we want and that we feel like this team deserves after 20 years of not being back to the NBA finals, like you want to hold this team to a standard of excellency, but you haven't really done that for the fans. And you've asked them to hold a high standard for the Chicago Bulls. But at the same time, the product that's been out on the floor, the disasters that have been happening back to back, that standard isn't excellency. So how do you get back to there as an owner? And what is your son going to do? That would be my next question. How is your son going to change things? And maybe he'd be in the interview too. Say, Michael, how are you going to change things besides bringing Jerry West?
Look at Jerry West.
Like, what are you going to do? That would be my question.
He's not going to change anything because Michael's already taken over. Jerry's just a figurehead at this point. Jerry's not doing shit running the Bulls. Michael's running the Bulls. And guess what? We still have the same incompetent front office pair. And Michael believes in them just as much as Daddy does. So the question of, Michael, what will you or would you do differently is a moot one because Michael's already running the show and it's the exact same shtick.
I'd ask him, too, if he's moving the Bulls to stadium anytime soon, because if they're doing that, then you have money to spend on your players and your product. And the other question would be, is if you miss out on hometown guy Anthony Davis, what's the plan going forward? Because you know in the back of their minds, all of them are trying to sit back and see how they can play this and bring Anthony Davis back here. And that's the pipe dream that a lot of Bulls fans are sitting on and hoping that that's going to happen. And recent news says that is looking even slimmer than it was before. So what's the plan going forward after that? And I don't know. I would ask him too, on top of that, how long are you going to continue to give this front office credit and slack and blame it on everybody else? But really, what's been the main problem?
Would certainly include some reference to Jerry West.
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, I would ask the fan base, what would you have to ask? What would you ask Jerry Reinsdorf if you were in an interview with him? And he was going to be realistic with you, not give you some BS answer. So that's where I sit. I think the fan base deserves some kind of explanation for the last 20 years. I really do. A lot of people spent a lot of money. And they wonder why. And fans still keep going back to games, even with the product being this bad. So
Matt, what's going on, man? Listen, I wanted to call, ask a question, but before that, I just want to quickly go over my statement 2 weeks ago about this team being trash. I meant exactly what I said. I meant this team is trash. Their record this year, so far, and last year, merits that. Yes, I do like a few of the individual pieces. Marketing, I think he'll be good. Wendell, I think he'll be good. I was probably wrong about Levine because I didn't think they should re-sign him, but I guess the jury's still out on that. But my point is, you have 7 wins, you look like this, you're a trash team until proven otherwise. Now, my question that I have for you guys is, one is, what the F offense is Boylan running? Maybe it's too intricate for my basketball eyes, but it appears to be milk down the clock and run post-ups to Robin Lopez. Maybe you guys can explain to me what is going on there. And my second question is, do you think Chris Dunn will still be the starting point guard opening night next year? I say no, but I want to know what you guys think. Thanks for the show. Can't wait to hear the answer to the question.
You're probably not wrong saying that the majority of this team is trash. I get that. Like, I would probably, you're right. I probably wouldn't use different words, but you're right. I mean, outside the core pieces that this Bulls team has, it's not great. And we kind of knew that coming into this season. But let's touch on the more important question, Matt. What kind of offense is Boylan trying to run here? And I think in short, I would say some type of terrible college style offense that he ran at Utah 6-7 years ago. Like, that would be my best explanation. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. As far as the person benefiting most from Boylan's offensive changes being Robin Lopez, like, good for Rolo. We all love Rolo. A great guy, well-respected veteran on his team, but that's not what you want for a modern NBA offense. I mean, our caller is very justified in his grievance of saying, what the heck is Boylan running offensively? Because I was talking earlier about how many shot clock violations we've had since Boylan took over, and it's a lot. It's too many. And running, you know, running strict post-up basketball with Robin Lopez, when you have Markin on your team, when you have Chris Dunn trying to build some kind of momentum as this team's starting point guard, and when you have, as you were talking about, Jordan Wendell and wanting to see him more involved in the offense, and I don't have an answer for you, caller. I don't, other than what we've heard from Boylan, which is we have to slow down to eliminate mistakes. But I think that's the reason he's giving. But really, he's giving that reason as lip service. And the real reason is this is the only kind of basketball offensively that Boylan knows. This is antiquated NBA offense, but it's what Boylan knows. And he's trying to smash a square peg into a round hole because that's how he knows basketball. And this is what we're getting because of it. And it's very frustrating to watch.
I think the other thing is slowing down the game prevents you from losing by 56, right? Unless you decide to pull all of your starters like he did a few weeks ago. But I think ultimately that's the goal. If you take the entire sample size of this season, since Jim Boylan's taken over to the end of April, you're going to see a lot more of these closer games that are going to be under 100 points. The game against the Cavs was a little bit of an outlier, but you're going to see a lot of games this season where the Bulls are in games that are 86-83 or 98-95. Like, those are the types of games that we're going to see now. And I don't know if that works in the modern NBA. Everything that we know about the modern NBA says it's not going to work. But Boylan's going to, I mean, the NBA zigs, the Bulls zag. Like, this is classic Bulls. But to your main point, and maybe this is cynical Bulls fan in me, but I think Boylan's slowing down games because he doesn't want to get blown out the way that Poyberg was getting blown out on a night-to-night basis. He wants to keep those losses, if they were going to lose games, keep those losses within 10. Say, you know what, I did make an improvement. You know, we were fighting, battling it out against all these other teams. And he also wants to try to win games. Like, if he's going to try to scrap out games against the bottom five, that's what he's doing with this team. Instead of going up and trying to chuck up 85, 90, 95 shots in a game, like under Hoiberg, it's going to slow things down and try to get teams to beat them by stopping them shooting. And that's the Bulls' best strength, right? Bulls' best strength is their shooters. So I think that's the cynic in me is saying that Boylan's are trying to slow these games down to make them look less bad and maybe in turn making him look less bad. But I don't know. It's an ancient offense that Jim Boylan is running, and I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, I think you're right, too, about maybe slowing things down to keep the games a little bit closer. You know, it's worked on some nights, and it hasn't worked on others. You know, we got smashed by the Thunder not that long ago. So what about the other part to his question about Chris Dunn and whether or not he's the starting point guard next season? Jordan, what do you think?
I think if Chris Dunn can stay healthy, and that is the biggest thing with anything Chris Dunn's got going on right now, man. I don't care if you got to wrap yourself in bubble wrap every single day into the end of this season, but just stay healthy, man. I think I think unless the Bulls go out this summer and sign somebody like Kemba Walker, like if that's the route the Bulls are going to go, I think Chris Dunn's your starting point guard next year. I don't see any other reason why it shouldn't be. I mean, has he given us any reason why that he shouldn't be the starting point guard next year?
I think some Bulls fans are just underwhelmed with what he does on the floor. And also some Bulls fans see him as injury prone. I would say due to the kind of injuries he suffered, I would disagree with that. Some of it's been pretty fluky. And I agree with you. Unless they make some huge free agent land in the summer of 2019 for an all-star caliber point guard, which P.S. don't think that's happening, then yes, Chris Dunn, for a very team-friendly option of another $5.3 million next season, will be this team's starting point guard. Because he's clearly the best of their options this season. The carousel of backup point guards the Bulls have had over not just this season, but the last handful of seasons has been hilariously awful. And Chris Dunn at least shows you that he's better than all of those guys. And I think that the Bulls are not ready to give up on Chris Dunn as a piece of this core, especially, as I mentioned, knowing that they can keep him around next season for $5.3 million. And yep. They could give him another year to evaluate on a very team-friendly $5.3 million. And if they get that evaluation, then they can talk about whether or not they're going to offer him an extension beyond that. But next season, there's no reason not to keep him.
I think that's the main point. I think Bulls fans are scared about Chris Dunn because of all the injuries that have stacked up. Like, just go back to last season. Dislocates his finger on October 6th, comes back October 28th, has a concussion and dislocates two front teeth on January 17th. I mean, all of these little injuries. He had turf toe at the end of March, and I don't know if that's really turf toe or they were just sitting him to lose games. You could toss that up to either one. But then he had the MCL sprain that didn't help, and he missed the first part of this season. So there is a case to make that Chris Dunn, while the injuries have been kind of weird, especially the ones last year, there's a case. But I don't think that he's not going to be the starting point guard unless they go out and get somebody like Kemba Walker or they make a trade for somebody. And I think people should still, I think it's too early to give up on Chris Dunn yet. Let's not forget he was named to the Futures team last year. Him and Markkanen were after their impressive stretch of 2 months under Hoiberg. Like, I don't think it's time to give up on Chris Dunn yet. Let's see what else he can do this season and cross our fingers that the biggest problem we have with Chris Dunn is that he can't stay healthy. He can stay healthy, bubble wrap the guy. I don't care what you have to do after games. Make sure that guy doesn't get hurt anymore. And I think we'll be pleasantly surprised. I think a lot of Chris Dunn doubters out there will be pleasantly surprised at the end of the season if he stays healthy.
I'm definitely not giving up on Chris Dunn yet.
Me either. I think on top of the potential in his game, I just think he is the one guy that keeps everything together. He's like the glue guy. And you saw that when he was out for the first 4 to 6 weeks, there was no voice, there was no grit, there was no fire to this team. And Chris Dunn offers that. And he brings that other element to the game too. So don't give up on him yet. For a lot of Bulls fans out there, don't give up on Chris Dunn just yet. All right, well, I think that's going to about do it here for our mailbag segment. Thank you again to everybody that dropped his voicemails. We're going to get to the text messages later in the week. We had so much to talk about with all of these voicemails. You guys always drop really great questions, and you can continue to do that at 331-979-1369. Thank you again for dropping those. Continue to do it all season long. We love to hear from all of you. Don't be shy. Drop us a voicemail or a text message whenever you're listening to the show, wherever you're listening to the show. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a very Merry Christmas. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com